Canada. There's plenty of private stations. And, in fact, the federal government does already own, in a sense, the frequencies, and people are given the right to broadcast on those frequencies. So are you saying if it was government-controlled radio and all we heard was the voice of the government, is that the – of course, that would be extremely disturbing. Extremely disturbing. But I maintain that to a great extent that's already what we've got. I mean, have you watched any television, cable television, in the last month or two? Could they have been any more favorable to the Bush administration's point of view in Iraq than they were?
So are you saying we need less government control?
We need a level playing field. We need the possibility of all kinds of opinions and all kinds of points of view and all kinds of facts to be brought before the public so that the people can decide in a democracy. Wouldn't you agree with that?
Well, in other words, I want less government control and get less government regulation. And the only way to do that is to deregulate. But you don't like deregulation, so what are you going to do?
But you're allowing the corporations to do pretty much what they please. I mean, you're taking a libertarian point of view, right? Corporations can do whatever they want because they got the money to do it.
Well, yeah, but the thing is, if you're going to be against consolidation, why don't you really be against consolidation and deregulate?
The problem is, in this country, you can't be, because as Commissioner Adelstein was saying, there is no level playing field. There is no free market.
That's right. My response to that is you've got a point that in European countries, they have given out national broadcasting licenses. Take the BBC in England, for example. There's a national broadcasting license that's controlled by the government. The government was always very careful when they did it in England to make sure that there was a balance of viewpoints to try to be as open and objective as they could. But, you know, that's government. In our country, we believe in the free market, and we had a completely different system of licensing. We licensed broadcast stations to local owners, to local communities, and the idea was we would do that, and in return, they would provide broadcasting in the public interest. They'd provide local public affairs programming. For example, in the old days, a radio station had to actually do what's called, Larry referred to as an ascertainment survey, where they went out and they asked, what does this community need? They'd go out to community meetings and they'd say, what are issues that matter in this community? And then they would have to put that on file with the FCC. And later they would have to say, here's what we did to cover those issues. None of that takes place anymore. So no longer is the system working. What happens now is you have local companies that are owned by national outfits that get this broadcast spectrum for free but don't have any public service requirements. And so you're getting, in a sense, the worst of both worlds.
Years ago, you may remember this, I don't remember quite how long you've been hanging around in Washington, but he was legendary. There was a congressman from the state of Washington named Al Swift, who was a former broadcast property owner, Democrat, something of a liberal. And he proposed over and over again, and it never got anywhere, that we have something in this country like they have in European countries, which is a tax or a percentage of the money that comes from the sale of radio and televisions, or a license on having one like they have in France and England. It would be tiny. It would be like a tenth of 1% of the price of buying a television would go into a federal fund to fund non-commercial broadcasting, so it wouldn't have to have begging bowls and it wouldn't have to have the non-commercial commercials we now see on PBS and NPR, and that we would then have maybe not something like the BBC or Radio France, but something that would be more independent of the commercial wealth stream, if you will. That proposal went nowhere. You think it's time to revive it?
Well, that's something for Congress to decide. Of course, the FCC can't establish new laws like Congress can, but I think it would be an interesting proposal. I'm a big, avid supporter of public broadcasting, and maybe as these private commercial companies get larger and more consolidated, we need to do more to reinvigorate the public broadcasting system and to make sure they don't have to put the begging bowl out. There needs to be increased federal support for public broadcasting rather than less. Because as we squeeze out diversity on the one side, we better try to find other places where people can get alternative viewpoints.
Rich in Fresno, thank you for your patience and thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning, Larry, and good morning, Jonathan. I had a question. Michael Powell seems like he's pretty much a lost cause on this. Is there any foreseeable possibility of swinging the votes of Commissioner Abernathy or was it Commissioner Martin? Where are they politically? I mean, do we have any chance on this at all?
It's a good question. My sense is that they are very much in the same camp as the chairman on this. Having spoken to them all, they very much believe that additional consolidation is not a problem for the country because they argued that there's so many new outlets that spring up, like internet and 200 cable channels. So they've got a different take on this. I'm not sure. I'm not foreclosing the possibility, but I'm not so sure that we can get a majority on this in favor of doing this in a gradual way.
Carlos in Pleasanton, thank you for joining us.
Good morning, Larry, and thank you so much for this program, and thank you, Commissioner, for being available to the public. I have two questions. The first one is very, very short, very simple. I remember in the case of organic foods that there was, I wouldn't say that there was massive knowledge, but at least there was some time and some knowledge enough that they got back on the web, on their website, like 200,000 or over 200,000 comments about when they wanted to change the rule for the rules for organic food.
So I remember that. Yeah.
Yeah. My question is, would there be a mechanism like that on the FCC website so that people can send back their comments and at least we could see if we could get several, you know, thousands of comments back? That would be the first question.
Well, let's deal with that one and we'll get to your second question. We began to talk about that a little earlier. I don't know if you were listening. If you go to www.media-alliance.org, you'll see a link to a place where you can send in comments. Or I imagine you can go to the FCC's website. It probably says how they can get to you. Is that correct?
That is correct. That would be www.fcc.gov.
Right.
And you can make your comments there, or the Media Alliance site also would link you over to that. I think it's a good idea. We need to get more comments. Our chairman's mentioned that, we've already had 18,000 comments on this, so that's more than we usually get at the FCC by a long shot. So we've heard plenty. And my response is there's 285 million people in this country, and each and every one of them is affected by this. We need to hear from a lot more people. I think that's a good suggestion. Anybody who's got a concern about this on either side should let us know.
Carlos, your second question was?
Yeah, my second question is maybe deeper. I'm personally alarmed by what happened in the last few months. I travel outside the United States, Europe and Latin America. And the story and the media reports and the analysis and the discussions on the media about the war in Iraq were so different that when I came back to the U.S., and I've been living in this country for many, many years now, I honestly felt like people here were in a bubble of information. They didn't know how things were perceived outside, how things were reported. So I am personally very, very alarmed about this. And my belief is that it is high time for the Democratic Party to start taking this as a high priority, and I'm saying start thinking of a major media reform, and I think it has to come from Congress personally. And by that I mean that all public affairs programming and news and so on should completely be separated from commercial interest. To me, that is such a clear conflict of interest. How do you see, Commissioner Adelstein, that possibility and what can be done? By the way, one option that I see in other countries is that those public affairs contents or programming, you know, we discuss all the time whether it should be privately owned or owned by the government. There is a third option, and it could be that it should be decided by a public panel. And by what I mean by that, like a board of directors, but be publicly elected from community organizations or nonprofits or even direct vote. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is. But what I do know is that the present relationship between commercial interests and public affairs is a complete conflict of interest.
All right, Carlos, I think we got the point there. Commissioner, thank you for calling. Commissioner Adelstein, you spent, 15 years on the Hill as a legislative aide, the last seven of them working for now Senate Minority Leader Tom Daschle. What do you think of the prospects? Is this the kind of thing that people chatter about in the hallways when congressional aides get together? We really need better legislation about media to do something about this one-sidedness?
Well, I think the caller is right that he said, what can I do about this? I think you need to contact your elected representatives about this. And I think that there is some concern on the Hill about this, and there's going to be growing concern after the FCC does what it does. Take, for example, your very own Senator Barbara Boxer. She's written to the chairman and said, please don't do this until you give my constituents a chance to see what it is that you're doing and give me a chance to see before you just foist it on the American people. So there is a possibility of getting members of Congress to respond to this, to be concerned about it. At this point, I think that the question of whether the many are overwhelmed by the few. If the many don't mobilize and the many don't express their concern, then the few powerful media lobbyists in Washington are going to continue to dominate the debate. And it's going to take a real sea change in order for Congress to be able to do this. I'm going to be honest with you, with a lot of congressional experience, you're going to have to really change either the makeup of Congress or their attitude. And maybe what will do that will be how disgusted the people get after June 2nd, and it'll be a few years from now, because most people aren't listening to this station. They don't know this is going on because the major national media aren't covering it, and they're going to find out about it, just like people are finding out that their commercial radio is not what it used to be. They don't like it. They say, what happened? They look back to 96. They say, oh, that happened in 1996. Well, that's going to happen in 5 years. They'll say, what happened to my TV? What happened to the newspapers? Oh, that was something they did back in 2003. So in 2008, there's going to be such mass revulsion that perhaps the pendulum can swing in the other direction. But
The eternal optimism of somebody who works in Washington.
I should be more cynical, shouldn't I?
No. We don't need more cynics. We need more powerful people working for the right thing. Frida in Los Angeles, thank you for joining us this morning.
Good morning. I know a little bit about the FCC and the hold on the stations, TV and radio. I'm just wondering, whichever way we go, and of course I'm with you, Larry, that if the stations keep selling advertising, even on singular ownership of singular stations, shouldn't there be a federal tax on this fantastic income with the government in such short need of money?
Taxes? You want to raise taxes at a time when the government needs money? No, let's cut taxes.
No, just a minute. I understand that these radio and TV stations are very lucrative because, to me, they seem, the commercial stations, they seem to be an area where now the ads are more important than the content, the entertainment or the educational content, which they seem to me to be using to connect the advertising. If they're making that much money, why isn't the federal government getting, or the local governments, getting some benefit of all the money that they're making from advertising when I think, and I may be wrong, that they give away these licenses for free?
Well, you're right about that part. I don't know about for free. You have to pay lawyers a heck of a lot of money to get a license.
But back to the government. There's income tax.
It is true. Have you ever heard anything about this, about an advertising tax? That's an intriguing idea, Commissioner.
Well, of course, these media companies that are commercial for-profit do pay taxes on whatever profits they make as corporations.
Profits their accountants allow them to declare they make as corporations.
Of course, that's true for any corporation. But what's interesting here, and the woman's point is well taken, is that they are getting for free, essentially, the use of the license. Other countries actually charge for this. In Czechoslovakia, other European countries, you've got to pay to use your radio license every year. Now, here, it's free. Now, why is it free? Because there was a social compact between the government and broadcasters that was struck in the 1930s, that they would get the licenses, but they would have to serve the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Those are the words from the law. Now what's happening is they get the license for free and forget about the public interest, convenience, and necessity. Just do what it is that makes profits. The result is what you see on radio, on TV, and what you hear on radio today. So maybe what we need to do at a minimum, because increasing taxes isn't too realistic in this political climate, but for God's sake, it's already the law that they're supposed to serve the public interest. Why can't we enforce that? Why can't we enforce that in terms of who can own the media in this country? Are we forgetting about the last vestige of public interest here, that when June 2nd, when we repeal these rules and allow even greater concentration and greater amounts of profit by a smaller number of companies with no accountability to the communities that they serve?
That's the right question, all right. Stephen in Albany is our next caller. Thank you for joining us, Stephen.
Yes, good morning, Larry. Hello?
Yes.
Okay. This is Stephen down at her.
Yes, Stephen Dunifer is one of the, founding spirits and guiding spirits of low-power community broadcasting, sometimes called pirate radio.
Well, I would not refer to it as pirate since I would...
I said sometimes referred to as. I didn't call it that.
Right. I know, but I think in this instance we could very truly say it. The real pirates are the corporations, which have basically stolen, you know, yet another resource that is a publicly held trust. And I just don't, I mean, in this whole process, I mean, that we've gone through in our particular movement over the last 10 years, and in specific our case with the FCC in court, I mean, all along the way, the FCC never responded in a substantive manner to the constitutional issues that we raised through that entire legal process. At this point, I mean, you know, it's, you know, to me, this whole process of, you know, seeking, you know, some redress, you know, from the commission, from Congress, government at all, is basically putting us in a position of essentially just begging favors, you know, from our oppressors. I mean, the process is totally illegitimate. The, you know, the Congress is illegitimate. It's basically a fascist alliance between, you know, government and corporations at this point.
So you think all the people who spoke up yesterday at the hearing and all the ones who called here at KPFA during our lunch break and all the people, the 18,000 people who have sent communications, which are overwhelmingly against, I'm told, media consolidation, are wasting their time, you'd say don't bother?
Well, I mean, I think it's ultimately, you know, going, you know, it's just basically spitting in the wind, I mean, because it's bleeding off in energy into, you know, kind of a reformist channel that ultimately is going to fail because, you know, Billy Tausen on the, you know, the committees that decide this is wined and dined and paid off, you know, by the National Association of Broadcasters and other corporate interests.
Well, there's no question about that, but if people don't try and if you don't start pushing, nothing ever moves. Now, it may not seem like you're getting any fulcrum going, but in my lifetime, there have been many movements that have started with a lot fewer people than media reform has right now and have gotten somewhere. And in fact, media reform is something that I first got involved in back in the 70s. About licensing requirements, and there were some victories and some defeats, and there were some free speech victories, and there were some cable channel victories. All of these constantly have to be fought. If you just say, well, the entire government is corrupt and it's run by a bunch of corporate capitalist clones, that leads to a sense of quietism and withdrawal. And myself, I'm not into that, but people who are, we'll find places to put their energy, I'm sure. Jonathan in the Russian River, thank you for joining us.
Hi, it's actually Charles. I meant to say wanted to speak to Jonathan. Hi, Larry.
Oh, okay. Hi, Charles.
Yeah,
Jonathan's here. You're
hi,
Charles.
Yes. This is strictly an issue of antitrust, and the Sherman Antitrust Act has been made a worthless piece of paper, as many laws in this country. This is also a conflict of interest. A good example is J.P. Morgan, which owns Westinghouse. Westinghouse owns many conglomerates and is also one of the stockholders of the Federal Reserve. See, this is also an issue that there really is about only 4% left of what we really call free market capitalism. That's really a misnomer. There really isn't a free market in America anymore. It ended with the passage of the Federal Reserve Act, a private stockholder interlocking directorships with the media, the military, the industrial complex. You know, why isn't the Sherman Antitrust Act valid anymore?
Interesting legal question for those who can handle that on Sunday morning is that the Antitrust Act does apply to media mergers, so that these companies, if they apply to merge, have to convince the Justice Department that they're not going to be able to be in an anti-competitive position. The FCC has additional rules, supposedly. We're supposed to also make sure that the new licensee operates in the public interest, or that the whole merger is in the public interest. So we're supposed to take into account a broader thought about the context of this and about other issues besides competition, like diversity of voices over the airwaves, like localism. Do these stations cover local affairs after they become huge national conglomerates? What we're about to do, I'm afraid, on June 2nd, is kind of throw that away and take it down to a very minimalist review. And responding to the earlier comments, the real issue is if we just let that happen and sit back quietly, if that does occur, and I hope it won't, I'll fight against it. We need to respond. The public needs to respond. You can't just let things like that happen. Elections do matter. Votes like that on the commission do matter, and it could have gone a different way.
Mark in San Francisco is our next caller. Our phone number here is 1-800-958-9008. You're talking this morning with Jonathan Adelstein, who is a Federal Communications Commission commissioner, at least for the next 3 months. He is one of the two Democrats on the five-person commission, and he is going around the country and doing all he can to try to stop further consolidation of media properties in a rulemaking that is going to come down at the beginning of June, in which the Republicans seemingly have the votes to do whatever they want to do. Mark in San Francisco, thank you for joining us.
Hi, my name is Mark, and I just wanted to make the comment that I have been listening to public radio now for 30 years, including KPFA, and generally my observations have been that listener-sponsored stations offer more selection, more variety, they're more educational, have more freedom of speech compared to your, normal, like, corporation stations that if they do pass, we're going to have more commercials, and if more commercials that are that important, I'd like to see them try and have stations with nothing but commercials on them, because that's pretty close to what it's going to become. And if this does pass, I'd like to know what we as the public can do in the future, and I think we all need to do something on it right now. And one thing I'd like to make a comment on is Pacifica Radio's recent battle with the legislation and the corporation media. They won that, so there is some hope. So don't give up hope, people.
Never give up hope, folks, and thanks for calling. We have just a few minutes left. We're going to try to get as many calls in as we can, including Kyle in San Rafael, who's been very patient. Hi, Kyle.
Good morning, Commissioner. Good morning, Larry. Thank you so much for this show. I am a former radio broadcaster who got out after 10 years in the 80s. The reason I got out was that I could see the direction that it was going. I have several stories, but since it looks like we're pressed for time here, I'll just say that I'm close to despair. I think that, as the last caller said, the only real broadcast media at this point in time that is worth listening to is public-sponsored, like this very station. It appears to me, I'll have to cut to the short version. We've taken out all broadcast media out of our home. We have a 10-year-old. Basically, what radio has turned into in the last 10 years, commercial radio, is hate radio. The talk shows scare me to death that this sort of thing is allowed. This sort of thing would never have been allowed 10, 15, 20 years ago.
Well, that's what I was mentioning before, the Fairness Doctrine. When they got rid of that, it opened the floodgates.
And what scares me is that we're going in the wrong direction on this. And so, Commissioner, I can't thank you enough for being a voice of sanity in the midst of this craziness. It's all influenced, of course, by corporate donations. And as you say, it's going to take a sea change. I don't see it coming, unfortunately. We need to change the way that the political donations are allowed. And until campaign reform, reform is effected in this country, I wish I had more hope. You said that one of your fellow commissioners, or a couple of them, had said that that they felt that because there was internet, voices on internet radio and more TV channels, more cable TV, that this sort of makes up for it. But I don't, as far as I can tell, it's almost impossible for there to be public TV. I've discussed it with Larry briefly on previous shows, and his take on it is that it's not going to happen. I would dearly love to see there be an equivalent TV station to KPFA on TV.
Well, there already is, and I've been taken to task for when you and others have called on various programs about this, not mentioning, so I'll mention it now. Free Speech TV and WorldCom TV and others who are trying. But the point is, and we're running out of time here, so I want to let Commissioner Adelstein have the last word. The point is, the kind of argument that you hear that there's a proliferation of communications channels reminds me a lot of what we used to hear back in the 60s and 70s when the radio stations do their ascertainment and they said, oh, yes, we serve the community's needs. We have a public affairs program every week from 5 to 7 a.m. on Sunday in which we discuss transportation, education, air pollution, yada, yada, yada. And the Federal Communications Commission operated under the fiction that all time is equal and at 5 to 7 a.m. on Sunday when virtually nobody is listening, serves the public interest, okay, here's your license. The same argument seems to me to be the same kind of facetious reasoning on the part of those who defend what's going on right now, the media consolidation, by saying, well, if you don't like Fox TV, log on to the Internet. The fact of the matter is that people in this country are conditioned and encouraged and even required in many cases in schools to become acculturated to what the caller has banned from his house, broadcast television and broadcast media. And if you don't penetrate that, if you don't have ability to reach people through that, you're really not entering into a public discussion anymore.
That's right. And look what's happened to radio in this country. Look at the frustration of local artists getting heard when these national conglomerates have playlists that they pump out from headquarters. The commenter was talking about his despair of what happened to radio. Well, if you're in despair over that, you may be in a lot of despair over what happens to television and cable and newspaper cross-ownership coming on June 2nd. So things are not necessarily moving in a direction that's better right now, but what did the Crosby, Stills, Nash & Young say? It's darkness is darkest before the dawn, so maybe we'll see some sunlight come up, but you got to help to bring it up. And one thing you can do about that is to go, if you're from the L.A. area or from anywhere in the state, to this hearing in L.A. on tomorrow morning at 8:30 starting registration, 9 o'clock it begins at USC Davidson Conference Center at the USC Annenberg School of Communications. We need to have people there. There's going to be an opportunity for public comment. You can express your views. Congressman Xavier Becerra will be there. Commissioner Copps will be there. I'll be beamed in by teleconference from Washington myself. And that's another opportunity for people in the most important media market in the country to make their views known.
And once again, on May 12th, there will be a hearing in San Rafael here in Northern California at Dominican University, May 12th from 1 to 3 p.m. You can log on to www.media-alliance.org and find a way that you can make comments on the process that Commissioner Adelstein has been talking about here this morning. And I vowed, Commissioner, the other day, after all these years, I'm still taking vows about radio, that I would not do programs again without mentioning the fact that people are always saying, well, only a small percentage of the public listens to a program like this or a station like this. If you think that, then talk to one other person at least and say, I heard a really interesting all-day broadcast yesterday on KPFA about the Federal Communications Commission and media consolidation, or I heard a really interesting talk show Sunday morning, or a news broadcast Monday afternoon, or whatever it is that you think somebody else might be turned on to. We don't have promotion departments. We don't have money for giant billboards. We don't do things like that. Word of mouth is what we need, and you folks have the mouths from your mouths to others' ears. Have a safe trip back to Washington, Commissioner Adelstein. Stay in touch with us, and we'll be following your efforts as closely as we can.
Thank you, Larry. It's great to have a commissioner here at one of the great radio stations in the United States.
All right. We'll be back with the station manager, the newly appointed station manager of this great radio station in the United States. Gus Newport, former mayor of Berkeley, will be the 18th manager that KPFA has had since our founding in 1949. He'll be here all next hour, and we'll be taking your phone calls. Stay tuned.
Suzanne takes you down to a place by the river. You can hear the boats go by. You can spend the night forever. And you know that she's half crazy, and that's why you want to be there. And she feeds you tea and oranges that come all the way from China. And just when you mean to tell her that you have no love to give her, she gets you on her wavelength, and she lets the river answer that you've always been her lover. And you want to travel with her, and you want to travel blind, and you know that she will trust you, or you touched her.